This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Your sports station.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
We are Dukes and Bell. We're live inside the Kia studios. For more info, visit KiaDealers.com. NFL Blitz coming your way as we'll take you around the league. Also, you'll hear from Hall of Famer Chipper Jones, who joined the show, joined the radio station, should I say, this morning with Frickin' Hugh. And we'll let you hear what Chipper had to say about a variety of things here in about 20 minutes. Mike, I'm reading this review about the Falcons, and you know, they're ranking all the teams. And basically, this is how, you know, end of the season,
right?
What did you think of this team? And this review goes on to say, basically, you know, we had two new coordinators in 2017, and we promoted defensive backs coach Marquand Manuel, proved to be a great hire. I agree. And then they go on talking about Shanahan leaving and Sarkisian. Matt Ryan coming off the MVP. But then I get to this part of the article, and I only want to point this out because I think this is what we've heard, and this is the frustrating thing for us. Atlanta was the only team in the NFC that made the playoffs in 2016 and 2017. Though it felt like a down year for the Falcons, just being able to crawl back into the playoffs and win a road playoff game was a huge accomplishment.
You got the reigning MVP. You got Julio Jones, Devontae Freeman, a young defense, which jumped in the top 10. With all due respect, whoever wrote that. No.
Right. Right.
Wrong.
And then it goes on to say, it could have been so much worse. But you have to admire the organization's perseverance.
Who wrote this?
What could have been a year from hell for that football team?
Who wrote this?
Hold on. A guy named John Bueller.
Who are you? Bueller, you
Bueller.
Just... Bueller, how much did Thomas Dimitroff pay you to write that?
Guy named John Bueller.
You won a bunch of games down the stretch, but unfortunately you got behind the eight ball by losing some really dopey games. And we said we're not going to rehash this season. We're just telling you I would disagree with that.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because this is not like this. You know, oh, wow, we're back in the tournament. You know, no, it's not the way it works.
What was that sound you just made?
Now, look, if you are a person, you know, and I don't know how everybody out there thinks. Don't you want to be the best at what you do? Don't you strive to be the best?
Are you
with the guy at the office who doesn't take chances because you're happy to be the second or third best sales guy? I don't know. I can't relate to that, man. I mean, you and I make a nice living for ourselves, but we always strive to be number one. Now, sometimes you have no control over it. If you're the quarterback and the offensive coordinator, it's kind of like the program director. If the program director's making bad decisions, there's nothing you can do.
Watch it.
What? I'm just making an example. Not here, Arthur. I'm talking about other stations.
Hey, just generally speaking,
other
AT.
Stations,
go ahead, Mike.
Other stations.
Go ahead.
Trying to save you again.
Generally speaking.
The point I'm getting to. Thank you, AT. So that's why Arthur is always there to look out for me. It's like bowling. He's those bumpers, so you don't get the gutter ball. But, you know, as far as...
What are you saying about program directors?
But, I mean, you've got to have all the ships going in the same direction, okay? And we knew at times this year we just weren't. You know, I mean, the OC, I love the spin from Dan. Hey, everybody wanted to run Shanahan out. Okay, you've set yourself up. It better work this year, buddy boy.
Yeah.
You better figure it out. And that all starts with your offensive line being better, because if that doesn't work, then nothing else starts to fall into
place. But do you guys get what we're saying? That kind of stuff justifies the season. When you see that, you go, wow, Atlanta was the only team to make it back to the playoffs.
Yeah, so what? That's a losing mentality.
Exactly,
I don't care what the other guy. I don't care what the other teams did.
It felt like a down year for the Falcons. Yeah. Just being able to crawl back into the playoffs and win a road playoff game.
That smacks of like John Schultz and Bobby Cox in the late 90s, early 2000s. Well, you know, in those best of five series, you run into a hot team. Oh, you know, well, no. This isn't about that. You know, it's the end result, man. It's about getting the championship.
Yeah.
If you're not trying for the championship, then I don't know. You don't understand competition.
Well, that's the thing. I read that, and I felt the same way you did. I'm glad you...
You like my metaphor, my euphemism?
Expounded on that. Yes, I did.
Thank you.
More about the program director coming up. Hey, it's Dukes and Bell. Let's get to an NFL Blitz.
Welcome to the NFL. With news and notes from around the league, this is NFL Blitz on Dukes and Bell.
All right, the Colts make it official. Josh McDaniels. Let's rewind.
Mm-hmm.
Head coach of the Denver Broncos, his biggest mistake is he traded down and Well, he got a guy named Tim Tebow. Now, he did win a playoff game with Tim Tebow.
Yeah.
But it didn't work. And a lot of people say McDaniels wasn't ready when he took that job. It was too much for him. Second time around. Because basically he went home. For those who say you can't go home again, he went back to New England, became the OC again, and now this is his second chance.
It's kind of like the offensive equivalent of what Belichick did after he left the Browns. Belichick, obviously, you know, he actually did a pretty decent job with the Browns. He did win a playoff game. They moved to Baltimore. He gets fired. And then he goes back with Bill Parcells. You know, and they actually had, obviously, success in New England. But I think Josh McDaniels, you learn from it. And I think you can use the Bill Belichick model, you know, as far as, you know, what you do better the second time around.
All right, so here is the Belichick coaching tree, if you're curious. Al Groh, 9-7 with the Jets. That was 2000. Bill O'Brien, still currently the Texans head coach. He's 31-33. Eric Mangini was 23-25. He was hired by the Jets back in 06. Saban, all right, with the Dolphins. This is just NFL guys. We know what happened there in 05. Josh McDaniels was 11-17, hired by the Broncos back in 09. And he had been the Patriots assistant since 01. So he took that job, been there 8 years, took that job, didn't work out. Romeo Crennel, we know that he was hired by the Browns in 05, didn't work out. Jim Schwartz, Lions, 09. These are all guys that come from the Belichick tree. And then Eric Mangini was hired by the Browns back in 09. Romeo Crennel went to Kansas City. None of those guys have won Super Bowls.
Yeah. Now, Matt Patricia's a guy that some people think maybe has a chance to kind of break that mold because he's not as hardwired or as hardcore, perhaps, as Belichick is. We'll see. But you're right. If you look at it, no. It has not actually worked out for those guys. Now, look. Anybody who takes the Cleveland Browns job, you're just going to be an F grade. And then Romeo Crennel's a guy that everybody loves playing for. You know, Al Groh was a head coach at Virginia, you know, and has been more of an assistant. He was here. He got fired by Georgia Tech. So, yeah, I mean, it doesn't guarantee. You could argue that the Belichick coaching tree is kind of a stump. There's not a lot of growth. You know, I mean, you get the jobs, but you're not going to hold on to them.
The Lions, as you just mentioned, named Matt Patricia, their new head coach. Cool tweet by the Detroit Lions that's out there. It's a picture of a desk, computer, and a bunch of pencils saying, "Coach, we're ready for you." So listen, I guess they're, you know, emphasizing there's a lot of work to be done with this this draft board and things that he's got to do and come in there. Mm-hmm. But pretty funny, man, when you see it. It's just an empty desk and a bunch of pencils.
Let's get to work.
All right. We will see what Matt Patricia does.
I mean, I know that, look, you got Matthew Stafford. Imagine if they get their hands on Sony Michel in Detroit, or, you know, take your pick. I mean, if I was the Lions, would you trade up to get a Saquon Barkley? I mean, imagine finally getting the legitimate run game. Remember, John Elway didn't do anything. I mean, he went to Super Bowls, but they didn't win them until he had Terrell Davis.
No, it's true.
So, I mean, you get that guy for Stafford because everybody thinks Stafford is, you know, hey, he's going to be one of the richest guys to never win anything in the NFL. It's never going to change unless you get him a running back.
Yeah, and I know Stafford is a competitor. He is a guy right now, you know, we talk about, you take these jobs because you have quarterbacks. I think both of these guys left the Patriots because they're going to places that have quarterbacks. No matter what you think about Andrew Luck, guys, Andrew Luck rated coming out of the combine and out of college as high as John Elway did, okay? He's got it. He just hadn't had the coach. Then you talk about this situation with the Lions. Stafford was the number one overall pick. I got a guy. I've got a quarterback. So I think that's why they ended up both leaving. But now we'll see what they do with it. Meanwhile, speaking of the combine, the NFL invited 326 players to the NFL combine. We say this every year. It's hard to watch guys in shorts and T-shirts, but we do. We watch it, and we're curious about it.
Well, I think this year you're looking for a couple of things. Defensive tackles. Carl just laid out a couple of guys from the Pac-12 that could fit the job. And certainly you want to look at offensive linemen and look like, how are they big and can they move? All you guys that are Georgia fans, and we get it. Isaiah Wynn, it was great that he stuck around. But isn't Isaiah Wynn more of what we've had, a little undersized? I mean, some people think he projects better, Carl, as a guard because he's a little undersized to be a tackle. But does he fit what you want, or would you try to maybe go another direction?
Well, listen, I think the idea that he's versatile helps. He could play tackle in a pinch, right? All these guys now in the league like this versatility.
And we cross-train.
And they cross-train. So the idea is, yeah, you're getting a starting guard, but you're also getting a guy that could play tackle if you needed him to. I think that's very that's something that they're going to look at with Isaiah Wynn and go, okay, this is a bonus. This is something else that maybe we weren't looking for, but he helps us in that area. Combine, by the way, starts at the end of the month, guys. We'll be all over it talking about it, having different guests on. because it is a big part of the grading system. It's not the only thing, you know, and I'll use this as an example. Baker Mayfield could go to the combine, Mike, and we hear something. It's one part of the overall overview of a player. It's not the only thing that's going to come out and you go, oh, I'm not going to take him because he has a bad combine or he scores low on the Wonder League.
But it is funny right now, if you look at all the mock drafts, now after the combine's over, or actually about 2 weeks after the combine's over, we find out who failed the drug tests. And you find out whose hands are shorter or what quarterback is actually 5'10".
Randy Gregory.
5'10". You know, exactly. You see what's going on. Who was the Alabama lineman? That famous shot of him running the 40 with his shirt off. Was it Andre Smith. Andre Smith. And like his left nipple is over his right shoulder because his flab is flying and it was just, oh, man.
Should have kept his shirt on.
And then the famous one was Maurice Clarett, where people always photoshopped old guys running marathons ahead of him on the 40-yard dash because he had a brutal time.
That's right.
So we'll see.
Yeah. It's always – because the thing about the combine for me is guys are not as fast as you thought they were. Then there's always somebody faster than you thought. And there's always a beast in the weight room, a guy that puts up 225 like 45 times. You go, who is this guy?
And then some guy who does it 8. You know, you're like, wait a minute.
As far as Belichick, I do want you to hear him talk about the Gronk retirement comments. For those and we really didn't even talk about this, but for those who missed it, right after the Super Bowl, Gronk was asked, are you going to retire? And Gronk responds to the reporter by saying, I don't know where you heard that, but I am going to, you know, think about where my future is. Here's what Belichick said on the conference call with the media in regards to Gronk stepping away.
You know, at the end of every season, every person goes through somewhat of a process at the end of the season involved in an NFL season. You know, you get pretty drained, especially after a season like this. I certainly can't speak for anybody else, so you have to ask any individual about their particular situation. But I would say that 5 minutes after the game or the day after the game is not really the best time to make those decisions.
So who's got his – who did that on the conference call? What happened?
Is that an AOL account there?
You got mail.
Sounded like it, right? You remember that? Some of you still have AOL accounts.
Sounded like somebody was on dial-up on that conference call there. But the thing with Belichick, and you and I were chopping this up
and
earlier.
Speaking of dial-up, real quick, remember how fast that was? Like, it took 10 minutes, but you were like, man, this is so fast. I can't wait to be on the Internet.
Or the best to tell, hey, I need you to get off the phone. I got to get online so I can plug in real quick.
What are
this
you doing?
So fast.
I'm in a chat room. Anyway,
what do you mean you're talking with other people you don't know?
So where are you from? What do you look like?
Anyway, so the thing with Malcolm Butler, and we talked about it earlier for guys that missed it.
Wait a minute. Let's rewind. You were in chat rooms?
Dude, working afternoons at a rock station? You're talking like 5 minutes an hour. Yeah. You got plenty of time on your
hands.
That's
true. You know? Yeah, good point.
Hey, here's Led Zeppelin. Let me get back to talking to Angela, 6161.
Yeah, why'd everybody put a numeral behind their name?
Hold on, I'm talking to Carla, 718. She must be in the Bronx. Anyway.
You've got mail.
666.
Hold on here. Let me write that down for later. That could be our game winner tonight. Could be what was
what's your email back in the day?
What was your chat room
your
name?
Your chat room name?
Weirdos.
Weirdos.
And I say that because we all had weird names. That's why. Crazy. All right, sorry, Mike. Where were we? We're talking about football.
No, Ian Rappaport, you mentioned for guys that missed it about what he is surmising happened with Malcolm Butler, because there's a lot of stuff that's out there, and one of his old teammates put out that he might have been smoking weed. That might not be the case.
I'm sorry. I'm
what were you, Big Tech 69?
God, you know. I was about to say. My, exactly.
Mine was D-Lo Pipe Layer.
It's just the craziest stuff you came up with. And the thing is, people responded to you.
I think I was Shock Jock 94 or something.
Oh,
Arthur,
my.
Did you ever do that, Arthur? You were just too cool for that.
Yeah, ATJR 44.
Yeah, that's right.
See? 44. Right? And then somebody always asks, what does the 44 stand for? And then I just needed a name. All right, sorry.
I digress.
All right, man. Other NFL news real quick.
Just a little take you back to our 20s. Back to you, Carl.
Nah, it's funny. I heard that sound there with Belichick. It just took me back. Bloop, bloop. Ryan Shazier, we mentioned this, guys, confirms he is not walking on his own. Steelers linebacker. He liked a Twitter post from Michelle Tafoya that said he needs support from a walker and other people to support him. Mm. In his rehabilitation, walking, which remains a struggle. Mike, I don't think he plays again. I just don't.
Yeah, I mean, you hope for the best, and, you know, we're in tune with what happens with a lot of people that go through the Shepherd Center here in town. We talked about it here, the incident with a young man from Southern and University of Georgia that Mark Richt was so involved with. But, you know, it just – it's frustrating because as a fan, you want to say he's going to get back there. But yeah, Devon Gales, thanks, Arthur, for running from Southern. But yeah, I think realistically, just happy he's got a good quality of life and he's can walk. But right. I think football ain't going to be happening.
Yeah, and listen, we all know there are certainly way more things more important than football. But that's been a big part of his life. And I think when this injury initially happened, he probably was thinking, okay, I'll go through rehab and I'll be able to come back. I think this has been more difficult than I think he realized.
And the other thing is, I mean, purely from a football standpoint and not just about the man himself, but I mean, the Steelers needed him so much against Jacksonville, and you saw it. I mean, him, that guy was a big part of what they're trying to do defensively, and he will. That's going to be a very difficult guy to replace.
We didn't mention this on Monday, but we want to extend our condolences to the family of Westlake High School star and Colts linebacker Edwin Jackson. Was killed along with his Uber driver by a suspected drunk driver Sunday morning in Indianapolis. I woke up to this story as it got traction, and certainly it started circulating. He was 26 years old, Atlanta boy, and man, it's just one of those sad stories. Freak thing happening,
and doing the right thing too.
Yes.
He's in an Uber. I mean, that's what we talk about so much about how nowadays, unless you're a complete moron, you got all these ways now you can prevent yourself being in that situation. Here's a guy doing the right way, and look what happens.
No doubt. Hey, man, it is Dukes and Bell. You guys can always chime in. We got plenty more to get to. Mike Conte's back. He was actually in Philadelphia. We'll ask him about his experience up there with, in case you missed it, coming up at 40 after the hour. But coming up next, Chipper Jones. What did he have to say when he got the phone call, and does he want to be a skipper? What's his future plans? You'll hear it coming up. Coming up at 4 o'clock, Jeff Sintel will join us from Dog Nation to talk about tomorrow, Wednesday, February 7th. Mike, it is National Signing Day. We've talked about the early signing period and how it affected recruiting, but Jeff Sintel is going to join us, talk about the Dogs and a lot more, so stay tuned for that at 4.
Yeah, National Signing Day part duh. Hey, man, Chipper joined Fricky and Hugh on the morning show, and obviously still basking in the warm afterglow of heading to Cooperstown. Hey, Chip.
It's been a long ride. It's been crazy, last couple of weeks. All indications were pointed towards, this was going to come to fruition. But, man, this couple of days before finding out, it was hard to sleep. It was, It was just tough to get through that initial shock of, hey, I played professional baseball for 23 years and 19 with the Braves, and now it's the final cap on everything was the Hall of Fame. It was unbelievable.
You were always a legend in the city of Atlanta. I remember back in the day. I remember when you moved into a certain neighborhood. I remember kids found out where you lived at first and were at your house before you got there. But now being in the Hall of Fame, I mean, what is that like when you go places now and they know that, you're a bona fide Hall of Famer? I mean, what is that like for you?
Well, it changes everything. It's a life-changing experience. I mean, never again will you sign your name the same way. Never again will you be announced the same way. I heard y'all talking about going to the bars for the Super Bowl. I actually went to a bar with the friends for the Super Bowl. And just having people come over and say, hey, congratulations, thanks for what you did. I played a game, for goodness sake. A kid's game. But it just goes to show you that, if you're on TV every night, and, you have a fanatical fan base whose, their whole day revolves around what time the Braves game starts. You're in people's homes for at least 3 hours every day, and you become a part of their lives. And I think when we did as much winning as we did here in Atlanta during our time here, people appreciate it because it was such a big part of their daily life.
Chipper Jones joining John and Hugh on the WayForward.com hotline, newly elected into the Hall of Fame. You look back, Chipper, on those teams in the 90s, and now half a dozen on and off the field, half a dozen Hall of Famers, including now yourself. I mean, you knew those teams were great. Did you know they were this special?
No. I mean, when you're you don't ever really think about the Hall of Fame. That's too far fetched. You're worried about being one ninth of the equation that goes out there and helps, the Atlanta Braves win on a nightly basis. I mean, I knew that I was watching greatness when certain people took the mound. You knew where Bobby's status was going to be when he quit. I never gave two thoughts a second thought about, where I was going to end up. I just, I was just focused on, hey, I don't want to disappoint one of those big three pitchers or anybody else, but I might. If a ball hits to me, I want to be prepared. And when I walk to the plate, I want to be the toughest out possible. And I think that kind of mentality just unbeknownst to me, kept accumulating numbers through the years. And by the end of my career, you start passing some pretty awesome names on some career lists, and all of a sudden people come up and start mentioning, hey, you're getting up in the Hall of Fame territory. It goes in one ear and out the other. It's a nice compliment. But, until that call came, a couple weeks ago, man, it was just business as usual.
Tripper Jones with John and Hugh, and you mentioned the hitting thing. I've always been curious. I mean, you're considered, right there behind Mickey Mantle, of all people, to be you and Eddie Murray as like maybe the second best switch hitter in the history of the game. Is switch hitting a hard thing to do, Chipper? I mean, is it a difficult thing to do, or has it just come natural to you?
You have to make it natural. It's very difficult to do. I mean, it's hard enough to try and master. And when I say master, I say that tongue in cheek. One side of the plate, much less two, it's twice as much work. But it's once you grasp it, once it becomes second nature to you, it's a definite benefit. I mean, where do most kids struggle when they're younger? They struggle with pitches that are going away from them. As a switch hitter, all those curveballs and sliders and whatnot, those are all coming into you as a switch hitter. It's a lot easier to hit them coming into you than it is going away from. But it took me until I was probably 19, 20 years old before my left-handed swing became my natural swing. Then what you have to juggle once you get up into the major leagues is trying to keep both of those swings on par with each other, and that is the most difficult thing because you're gonna be able to, the ball's gonna look like a basketball coming up there from one side of the plate, and it looks like a golf ball from the other side of the plate, and you have very few times during the course of the year where you walk up to the plate and you feel equally confident from both sides.
It seems like right now from where I'm sitting, you've accomplished everything that you wanted to accomplish. But last year, seeing you work with the Braves a little bit, it seemed like you had a little bit of that, a little bit of that coaching in you. Do you see yourself coaching sometime in the near future?
I could not be more content with my life right now. I have made some fundamental changes. I've got a woman at home that I love to go home to. So as we sit here right now, I'll never say never. As we sit here right now, I have no urge to get back in uniform. I lived out of a suitcase for 23 years, and I'm ready to put down some roots and spend some quality time at home. I got six boys that I have to look after the kids. Pretty busy. I have a TV show, hunting show that I film for during the fall and the winter. That keeps me pretty busy. So I'm pretty happy right now. I've got my toe dipped in the water, with the Braves just a little bit, just to see how it feels. But that's more of a front office thing, which I really enjoy. And come draft time, if the Braves have a couple hitters they want me to look at, they call me. If they got a couple guys down in the minors that are struggling, they call me. Some personnel decisions from time to time, but that's kind of the road I would much rather travel right now because it's not as demanding as being back in uniform.
Hey, Chip, if I want to get into hunting, what is it cheaper for me to get into? Is it bow hunting or hunting with like a shotgun? Which route should I go?
Bow hunting. It's my TV show is called Major League Bow Hunting. We're 100% bow hunting. We're gonna exchange numbers, and I'm gonna get you hooked up. You're gonna love it. Just trust me. Once you get bow hunting in your blood, it's over.
That's what I'm talking about. I see myself as a bow hunter. I can do that.
Chipper Jones joining John and Hugh on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Chipper, what's the most nervous you've ever been in your life, and is that moment actually about to be ahead of you, not behind you?
Yeah, that'll probably be it. I think my couple of times during the course of my career, I had a public speaking professor when I was in high school, and I'm sure he's moving and was great a couple of times. Listening to me, you know, do some speeches. That's going to be a nerve-wracking, you know, and I know you could probably attest to this. You can be nervous before games and whatnot, but once you're out there, that's our domain. That's where we feel the most comfortable. And it's when you get us outside that comfort zone, usually talking in front of a bunch of people where, you know, it gets nervous. I would say, the most nervous I've ever been. Wow, that's probably getting married the first time. That was probably it. You know, being so young and whatnot, not really sure if I wanted to get married or not. You know, marriages are always kind of nerve wracking. Heck, I've been married 3 times, and this last time I got married 2 years back. You know, I was still nervous, even though I've been through it and absolutely sure of it this time. Still, always nerve-wracking.
Chipper Jones with John and Hugh. One final question here, Chipper, and congratulations again, because I know so many Braves friends are thrilled for you to be in the Hall of Fame. Your mantle, okay? I assume you have a fireplace. You got a mantle. What is front and center? World Series, MVP, Cooperstown?
World Series. We play a team game. I think if your thoughts and your goals are not centered around what is what is team first, then you're playing for the wrong reason. A guy who's maybe got the MVP trophy or the Hall of Fame, you know, front and center, probably was a little bit of a selfish player, but I think coming into spring training every year. Yeah, I had some personal goals, but they weren't front and center. What was front and center was where the Atlanta Braves is going to be competitive and have a chance to win a world championship. And as long as I had a say-so, I felt like we had a chance. And like I said earlier, we did an awful lot of winning here in Atlanta. Maybe didn't get as many as we should have, but one's a lot better than none. I can promise you that right now.
Chipper, congratulations again, and we look forward to you standing on the steps of Cooperstown, New York.
Yeah, you're the man,
Chipper. All right, it was a pleasure talking to y'all. So we'll see you.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Get that bow hunting in.
All right, buddy.
There he is, Hall of Famer Chipper Jones with Frickin' Hugh, John Frickin' Hugh Douglas in the morning. And congratulations again going out to Chipper. We're going to catch up with our man Mike Conte, who was in Philadelphia, taking in the Super Bowl. We'll get a chance to hear what he has to say and what stories he's going to come up with. Also, Jeff Centel at 4 o'clock in about 25 minutes from now.
Pretty busy.
Who busy?
Busy.
What? I'm very busy right now.
Hey, man.
It's time now for In Case You Missed It with Mike Conte.
I got good news for you.
Right here on Dukes and Bell.
All right, he's back from Philadelphia. Mike came in today. What was the weather like up there?
Not horrible. Like mid-40s.
Okay.
Rained hard during the Super Bowl.
But good riot weather?
Well, I would not know. I did not participate. And by the way, I'm really sorry my cell phone crapped out on you guys yesterday when we tried doing this. The Philadelphia airport.
It was better than Chipper's.
Well, that's good. The Philly airport is like a third world airport. It's just it doesn't have good Wi-Fi or cell phone or concession stands or restrooms or really anything like that. It's like flying to Uruguay. So I apologize for the phone crapping out.
I'm in Uruguay.
Yeah.
Watch out. Somebody's going to light us up for Montevideo now.
Yeah, well, you know, I'm sure Montevideo has a lovely airport, but not by American standards. So I'm sorry everything crapped out on you. It was a really fun weekend. It's one of those things, like, and I don't want to bore our audience. I'm not going to disrespect our audience by talking about how great the Eagles are, because I know you guys listening don't care. But I would say this. It was really cool being able to watch that with my dad and my brother who flew in from Indianapolis, my sister who flew in from Denver. That was really, really cool. So it's coming, Atlanta. I know it probably should have happened last year, but when it does happen and you have the ability to watch it, say, with your dad or your uncle or your grandfather or something like that, take advantage of the opportunity, because it really will be a memorable occasion when it occurs.
Yeah, I think you bring up a valid point, Mike, that the ride, this journey, and Mike and I always talk about it, Mike Bell, that we are on as fans, and the ultimate payoff is what you're talking about. That feeling that, oh, man, I can't believe it. And then to be around people that you love or people that you've experienced this with.
Right.
You know, they're going to be Falcon fans when it goes down. I've been following this team forever, 30 years, and it's never happened, 40 years. And finally, so to your point, you're absolutely right.
And you know what else? I think, I hate to say this, but the longer you have to wait, the sweeter it is when it actually does happen. You could probably talk to some Cubs fans about that.
Yeah.
The longer you have to wait, the sweeter it is when it happens.
Now, for Braves fans, I mean, the newness of 91 was so special, but by 95, right. Again, 95 was strange because you still had the strike, and then they came back, and it was still strange. So, in a way, people aren't as misty about 95 as you think they might be. It's more about you hear more about 96 and the Leyritz home run and about, you know, more than
no, I think that's totally true. I mean, if you were to take a poll of Braves fans, I would think they would look at 91 more fondly than 95, which I know sounds crazy. If you talk to Saints fans down in New Orleans, hardly any of them, and this sounds very weird, but trust me on this, hardly any of them talk about beating the Colts in the Super Bowl. They all talk about the Steve Gleason game.
Right.
The comeback,
you know,
game.
It doesn't necessarily have to be a championship for people to remember it more fondly. I think up in Philadelphia, this one will probably be remembered more fondly than anything. But it's really funny. You know, the saltiness of the Philadelphia fans and sports talk radio up there. Yesterday, I'm driving out to get breakfast. What are they talking about on WIP? Not, oh, man, this is so great. The Eagles won the Super Bowl. It's McNabb better not show up at the parade. And they took like 20 minutes of calls on what a lousy GM Joe Banner was. I'm not joking.
Okay.
This is hours after you win the Super Bowl.
Carl, this is why when I was up there with my wife and there's a couple, maybe less than 100 Falcon fans that made the trip, ill-advised to Lincoln Financial. They're just awful. Like, I know you grew up there, but they're just strange. It's a fellowship of the miserable up there. I don't understand it. No. It should be the exaltation of how the fun you're going to have. And, hey, we're just the start of a dynasty because now we got Carson Wentz. And they're talking about Donovan freaking McNabb?
Well, if you lived in that climate, in that aging city with infrastructure, you'd be a miserable too.
Yeah, you're right.
Just saying. I mean, the food might be better up there, but that's about it.
That's about it. I totally agree. Yeah. Good stuff, Mike Conti. Well, glad you made it back safe.
No,
glad you enjoyed it. In case you missed it with Mike Conti.
You know, some of the Eagles fans that went to Minneapolis, and there were a lot. In fact, our old buddy Andy West, you remember him, our production director here?
He was there.
Him and his dad, long-suffering Eagles fan.
Well, he went with his brother. I think his dad was in town, but he went with his brother. He's a long-suffering Eagles fan. He told me like 80% of the stadium were Eagles fans, and many, many more went and did not get tickets. Well, many of those fans went to the Eagle Bar in Minneapolis, called the Eagle Bar, actually called the Eagle Bolt Bar. Well, apparently the Eagle Bolt Bar in Minneapolis is it's a gay bar. It's a gay bar.
Oh.
And a lot of Eagles fans flooded into the big gay bar in Minneapolis. Everyone had a great time, according to the report I'm looking at here. I think this is a TMZ report. They even got some fans from Germany. The fans who flew over from Germany, big Eagles fans, could not get a ticket. They go to the Eagle Bolt Bar. They discover it's a gay bar. They stayed, watched the game, so they had a great time. No incidents or anything like that. It was a good thing they weren't there.
They got HDTVs. I had a Cosmopolitan. I'm having a great time, Carl.
It is probably a good thing they did not go the night before, however.
What was the night before?
Well, Saturday nights at the Eagle Bolt Bar, according to this report, are, they're gear night. Gear night. Where patrons are encouraged to wear gear.
Yes.
Everybody's dressed up like the lead singer of Judas Priest is what you're telling me.
Yeah, I'm not a big Judas Priest fan.
Biker gear, bite the leather stuff.
Yes, yeah.
Yes. Come on, work with me.
Yes, yes. That was the night before the Super Bowl. Night of the Super Bowl.
It's kind of funny, though, Carl, because we always joke around at SEC Championship. By now, all the Alabama fans know their way around, staying at hotels in Midtown. Right. But the old joke would be if a guy said, what's a good sports bar?
Yeah, go to Bulldogs.
Go to Bulldogs. Yeah. Exactly.
We actually had a guy who worked here when we signed the radio station on where he was told, and this is actually kind of an unfortunate prank, but he was told to go to Bulldogs because that was the best place to watch a dog's game.
Georgia
named
Bulldogs.
After the team.
Yeah.
And he went. And it was fine. I mean, obviously. But he learned what Bulldogs is.
I don't remember that. You got to tell me off air who that was.
You won't be surprised when I tell you.
I don't remember that.
He's not here anymore. You won't be surprised.
But here's the deal. Next year, by the way, Super Bowl's here.
Yes.
All right.
And if the Eagles are in it, there is an Eagle bar on Ponce, right?
There is. There's a bunch of bars around town that follow their teams. There's a bunch of Steeler bars.
I'm talking about a bar called the Eagle.
Oh, yes, there is. Yes, there is an Eagle
But by
bar.
The way, we talked about this, Mike, at the end of the show yesterday. We've got, if nothing else, guys, we must prevent the Eagles, the Saints, and or Carolina. You know, if it's going to be somebody from the NFC, let it be Shanahan and the 49ers, but I don't want it to be anybody from the NFC South.
Or like the Rams, if it happens.
Right. Yeah.
I think the Falcons. I mean, let's see what the Falcons do in free agency in the draft, but
darn right.
I think, boy, I'll tell you what, though. You know what I kept thinking watching as the Eagles salted it away Sunday night? Man, this could have been the Falcons' year.
Oh, no doubt.
This could have been it.
Everything.
This could have absolutely been it.
Everything laid out again for us. I mean, you thought it laid out for us last year, or 2016. I mean, again, we go on the road. We beat the number one offense against the Rams, right? We go on the road. We're playing the backup, and we hold them to don't get me started. Yeah.
Meanwhile,
and by the way, the Patriots defense, not great shakes either.
Meanwhile, the Patriots landed in Massachusetts. They go up to their facility. Reporters, I guess, swarmed a backup offensive tackle, and he cussed at the reporters. So they're in a very salty mood. And then Gronk's house got burglarized. You see this?
Yeah.
They stole multiple guns and safes, according to police reports, and they're still looking for a suspect. They were there for 5 or 6 hours investigating yesterday. So Gronk comes home and cops are outside.
Inside job.
I'm telling you.
What's that?
In a Ryder rental truck, about 4 in the morning on the turnpike, Butch Hobson.
I knew Butch Hobson would be involved.
His crime ring. He's the new Whitey Bulger, Kyle. I'm telling you, Butch Hobson.
Inside job. All right, man. Conti, good to have you back, man. Crazy stuff. By the way, Conti will be making his way up there with us to Nashville and have the call for you for the Atlanta United game on Saturday, guys, that friendly that we'll be talking more about. Coming up, hey, Jeff Sintel is going to join us. We'll talk about the recruiting aspect of things. Tomorrow, National Signing Day. Are the Dogs going to be the number one class? We'll get into it with Jeff Sintel next.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.